Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. All right. Welcome back, seekers, to God Beyond the Bible. This is the podcast by seekers and for seekers, and thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to the comments, and as we record this episode, it's going to sound a little weird. It feels like time travel. Episode 6 has just been released, and that was Conflict of Doctrine in the Early Church. By the way, Tabby's here.
Hello.
Trayson.
Hey, guys.
And that just came out on February the 8th, and we're like 4 episodes ahead here. So this feels so weird, but hopefully you'll find we're getting a little better as we progress. We're thrilled to be gaining listeners every week. Be sure to share us with your friends. We don't get a penny out of that. Just the enjoyment of knowing that we're doing something that it's meaningful to folks. We realize it takes an open mind and some independent-minded spiritual courage just to listen to our podcast. Well, what do you think it takes to actually do it?
For sure.
So, I believe it's time we take a cue from Jesus himself. A great part of his mission was to break the stranglehold the religious leaders had on the people of his day. Now, he was declared by them, of course, a heretic and a troublemaker and a rebel. And after all, he was challenging not so much the practice of religion, but the control and, yes, even the financial gain a few were enjoying over the masses. They exclaimed at one point, "How do we stop him? The whole world is going after him." We here at God Beyond the Bible believe in the value of seeking. By seekers, for seekers, Jesus said, "Seeking you shall find." After all, it is written, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And with that said, how about shout-outs? Got any shout-outs this week?
Yeah, I've gotten a shout-out for Tammy and Susan, to Adam, Brad, and Earl, all from Arkansas.
All right, cool. Hey, building up an audience here in Arkansas. That's wonderful. And all over, anywhere.
Yes.
So I got some from Canada and different places. That's wonderful. That's kind of why I said that. So if we shout at you 3 weeks or 4 weeks after you've liked our page or so.
Right.
That's the reason I was kind of saying that. We're way ahead recording on these. We have to be, all of us have jobs and time schedules and everything that we have to try to meet here. In fact, we actually try to do this on Sunday afternoon between our church services.
Mm-hmm.
It has happened today that we had we got a snow day. No, it was freezing rain this morning here.
Right, yes.
And what is this, February? What day is this that we're
recording? The 10th.
February 10th. Yes. Okay. All right.
Which is great because we're actually recording episode 10.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, look at that.
Which is, we're calling this episode The Decline of the Modern Organized Church. And in this first segment, we're going to ask the question, is there a decline in the attendance and support of the modern organized church?
And I know decline almost sounds like demise, and that's not really what we're saying here. We're just saying, and well, we're going to explain ourselves. And maybe I should have said, I write these, maybe I should have said the metamorphosis. I don't know. That, or evolution. That even sounds worse, maybe. Okay. What's the question again? What's the question, Trayson? I'm sorry.
Is there a decline in the attendance and support of the modern organized church?
Well, what would be the short answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
One doesn't have to go to Google and Google the statistics to know this, especially if you're involved in a local church, as we all are. Mm-hmm. I've recently attended a couple pastors' meetings where I brought up this subject, and everyone agrees the way we're doing church seems to be failing from an attendance, support, and enthusiasm point of view.
And, you know, I don't think you even have to attend church to see it. I
just drive by the parking lot. Well, what are you saying?
No, drive by the parking lots. Yeah. Or look at how many churches are completely shut down that you drive it past, and they're grown up, and the doors are never
one of
open.
One of my pastimes. This is weird pastime. Another weird. I go and I look at old church buildings, and you know there's a history there, and and some of them are unlocked, and you just go in, and it's just like they walked out one Sunday and
never came back.
No one returned. I'm surprised to find that almost always in those meetings that we have, pastors' meetings, someone suggests that what we need to do is more of what we've always done, just with some increased fervor. And I'm not making fun of anybody that thinks this. Didn't someone write that the definition of insanity is to continue doing things the same way, expecting a different outcome?
I think that was accredited to Einstein, but...
Oh, was it Einstein?
He never said it to me, so I'm not 100%.
He said it about me. Statistically speaking, here we go, statistics, and everybody's eyes starts glazing over, but we have to get some information and show that we're not just grabbing this out of the air somewhere. But and what is it, Tracen? What percent, 90% of statistics are made up on the spot?
Yes.
No, I'm only teasing.
92.4%
of all statistics. I got to quit saying that word. I'm getting hung up on it. Statistically speaking, when asked the question, do you attend religious service regularly? Now, that's a broad question in itself,
sure,
but that's
it
the question that they usually ask. The results vary from as much as 40% or 4 out of 10 Americans to as little as 15% or less than 2 out of 10 Americans. Did y'all find it pretty close to that when you researched
it? I found some that were, you know, as low as about 1 in 10.
Really? Mm-hmm. Baptist? No, I'm teasing people. I've been in the Baptist church. You guys know that. I'm teasing. One interesting point of view was I discovered that when surveys like this are conducted, there's a complication that comes into play called the halo effect. I never knew about this. Have y'all guys ever heard of this?
Well, I looked it up today, and it was kind of interesting.
It's called the halo effect, and if you want to think of what we're even talking about, it took me a long time to connect. It's like put a little halo around your head. It simply means that when asked any question that has a moral factor involved, it's human nature to answer the question putting oneself in the best light. For example, when I asked Tracen if you're... No. For example, when asked if you're a regular drinker, the person tends to minimize how many drinks he or she has in a certain period of time, you know, if it's a survey like that. So the same goes with do you attend church regularly. Many have a tendency to exaggerate their attendance to see themselves in the best light, and we all do it, right?
I absolutely
I mean, when we tell
that.
The story, we tell it where it looks the best on us, and, and that's what we want to do. You had something you were going
to
say.
Well, it's hard to be put on the spot like that by anyone, especially if you have a more complex answer to it and they're just looking for one or two words.
If I just show up for my grandkids' Christmas plate regularly every year, is that regular attendance?
Well, you're there without
fail. I mean,
fail.
That does not fall in. I'm being serious. Does that not fall under? If you ask me that question, yeah.
It's like when someone asks if they like your if you like their new outfit and they look like a banana.
Banana.
Okay, a banana. Let's don't get too far down that road.
I don't think I've worn yellow lately, so I don't think she's talking about me.
I was thinking, I don't think I have either. Maybe a hat or something. Maybe it's DJ's coat. Even the most optimistic reports from the largest denominations like the Southern Baptist admit that their growth has flatlined, but the actual numbers show decline both in membership and revenue. One thing is certain, all statistics show a vast decline in regular church attendance and membership over the past half a century, 50 years.
Yes.
Which actually brings us to the end of segment one, where we answered the question, is there a decline? And I think, what is the agreement? Is there?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a decline. Yeah, I see you grinning, Tracen. You got in the first absolutely of the show. And so, hey, don't go away. We'll be right back with segment two.
Everybody, welcome back to our podcast By Seekers and For Seekers. We are God Beyond the Bible. We're in segment two of episode 10, and we're talking about the decline of the modern organized church.
Yes, and in segment one, we asked, is there a decline? And most agree that there has been a decline in interest and attendance of regular religious services going on for more than half a century, especially in the New Testament Christian church, which is where our focus really is. So our question for segment two is, has the decline accelerated in the past two decades since the turn of the century or the millennium?
And our observations suggest that the decline has accelerated, especially in the age group of people under 30 years old. You'll hear this group referred to as millennials. They are those, Tabitha and Trayson, who came of age and were most influenced by trends and cultural events that occurred towards the end of the last century or the late 1990s and the beginning of this 21st century or the early 2000s. Now, myself, in my mid-50s, I'm a Gen Xer. Now, see, there it goes. There's that halo effect, right?
Yep.
I'm going to be 58, so that's past mid-50s, isn't it? There's that halo effect. I myself in my 50s, late 50s, Gen Xer, and those slightly older than me, the baby boomers, of course. And what I personally found interesting is that the tail end of the Gen Xers, that's my generation, or the oldest of the millennials, Tabitha, that would be you, those people born in the...
Thanks.
No, I'm just trying to make a... Yeah. Those people born in the early 80s actually equal the boomers and the Generation Xers and sometimes exceed them in regular attendance of religious services. But however at best, that's about one out of four or one out of five. That's still just 20 to 25% of Americans that regularly attend or are members of, or I think, you know, well, that's just what the question was.
Well, and I sat down and I started doing a little bit of searching through, you know, my friends and my peers. And I realized that when I added them up, maybe one out of 10 actually attends regular service, and probably about four or five out of 10 go a few times a year, but around half of them never set foot in a church service for one reason or another.
Yeah, organized church service. But the facts are the decline in all areas seems to have accelerated. The boomers and the generation just before them, and I put a question mark, isn't it the silent generation? No?
They were the greatest generation.
Great generation, the silent generation before them. Sorry, got it mixed up. All right, the great generation. Well, of course, their declines contributed, well, mostly to death. However, all generations are showing a steady decline, punctuated by an accelerated decline in the past two decades. There is, however, a factor that one must mention at this point. While there's a decline in interest in regular religious services, there has not been a significant decline in those who say they believe in God. In fact, some suggest that there's a slight increase of number of people who believe in God.
And I'm glad you made this point, because we're by no means the kind of people who believe that if you don't attend a church service that you have no faith in God, or that you're not a believer or anything like that.
Well, what does that suggest? I mean, you know, I can see, I'm trying to visualize these folks and what they're at home. They watch a program that, you know, they watch some religious program on maybe online something, or they read their Bible, pray.
Sure.
I mean, I talk to people all the time, say, hey, I'm praying for you, and I'm thinking, you know, and I know they don't regularly attend church, they don't, but hey, I pray every day. I have people tell me lots of times, you know, I pray every day. I start my day every day with prayer, and sometimes that shocks us, because first thing we think of, well, I haven't seen you in church.
It is. But I think a lot of it boils down to, there's a quote that circles around that says, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Mm-hmm. And the opposite is true, too. You know, not going to church doesn't make you not a believer. It doesn't mean that you're lacking in faith, especially in this technological age where we have podcasts and you can worship every day, you know, on your way to work, listening to a podcast sermon.
You can have daily devotionals in your car on the way to work. And
part of it, I think, you know, that's true. We're more technologically advanced, but, you know, there's something missing, obviously, from our modern day church.
Well, is it missing, or is it just not filling the void? Now, you've got to ask this hard questions. Is it not filling the void, and maybe the younger generation, the millennials, are saying, you know what, this is just not doing it for me?
Well, I think that's very true. I mean, I was, there was a poll done by the Barna Group Research, and they said that millennials that opt out of church completely,
even though they went to church as a child, as they grew up, they decided and just quit. They perceive current day Christianity to be aggressive mm-hmm. and hypercritical. 35% of those cite the church's irrelevance, hypocrisy, and the moral failures of the leaders. And I think that's the church's fault. We tend to put our leaders up on this pedestal that they can't mess up and they can't. And then when they do, the hope of the congregation is fallen and broken.
And I like, what did you say? What were the words? Aggressive and
hypercritical.
Well, that means overcritical of everybody yes. that's not me. Mm-hmm. Don't think like me. Don't
and
act
I
like me.
I see that constantly. As someone who's in the younger end of the millennial generation,
and listen,
hard,
the
guys.
Aggression. I know all about the aggression. I mean, you know, if you don't go out and hold up signs and you know, let's don't go down that road. That's a right. whole different podcast. Yeah. But I mean, you know, it is. They're turned off. I think people are turned off by us. I don't know us. I'm just saying as Christians, as the church, that the church has just got so political. Let's go ahead and say it.
Yeah. And you know, it said 2 out of 10, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's 20%, say that they feel God is missing in the church. And 1 out of 10 senses that legitimate doubt is prohibited starting as soon as you walk in that door.
Yeah, logic. You have to leave all logic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Leave all your logic outside the door. You know, I tell people, and you guys have learned me for a long time, I tell people, don't leave your brains at home.
Yes.
I mean, don't come to church and leave your God-given discernment and brains at home and just believe because we're here that you couldn't be, you know, and I know this is dangerous, dangerous territory.
It is.
And guys, it's been a struggle for me as, you know, you guys know, and people know that you've been my pastor most of my life, but I'm someone who grew up with a really dead faith because I never... Church was always just something I did. That was something you did on Sundays, and you did it, and you went home, and you went on with the rest of your week. Well, and if you don't have that living faith behind it, church is just really a pain to have to sit through.
And let's be honest, and I know we're going to pick it up in the next segment, but being PKs, or preacher's kids, we kind of got to see sometimes the worst of the worst,
yes.
you know, and it affected how your outlook on church and how you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Well, it does. And of course, yeah, you get to see that hypocrisy.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. hypocrisy. I think that's the number one thing is just,
that
you know.
That hypercritical.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, sure. And I've seen it and I've been really disappointed. And like Tabitha said, we're going to pick it up in the next segment. So the point is very suggestive. Let's go over that point again. It leads us into the next segment. Mm-hmm. There's a factor one must mention. While there's a declining interest in regular religious services, I'm talking about organized right. church, attending church, organized, there has not been a significant decline in those who say they believe in God. In fact, some suggest that there is a slight increase even in those who say mm-hmm. they believe in God. So with that said, then let's just pass right out of segment 2. We'll be right back in a moment with segment 3.
Welcome back to God Beyond the Bible, a podcast made by seekers and for seekers. We're in episode 10, and I want to remind you guys or let you know that this is part 1 of a 2-part episode. Our subject today is the decline of the modern church.
And in segment 1, we asked the question, is there a decline? And we established evidence that there is, and that there has been a decline in attendance of regular religious services over the past 50 years. So in segment 2, we asked if the decline had accelerated in the last 2 decades or since the new millennium. And our conclusion is that the decline has accelerated in all age groups, especially in the millennials or those who are 30 years and younger. And we concluded segment 2 with the thought that while attendance of regular religious services seems to be on the decline, the number of people of all ages who believe in God remains steady and may even be slightly increasing.
And so that we said we're going to just take this thought a little further, and we're really going to talk about some of these things in the next episode. We're going to be talking about where we think the church is going. Mm-hmm. Where do we think the church will look like in 10 years down the road? And but with this thought in mind, with the decrease of enthusiasm or support or attend, but yet as many or more people are still saying they believe in God, why the decrease in attendance if the number of people who believe in God remains steady? And depending on what poll you access, as many as 8 out of 10 Americans say they believe in God, while only about 2 out of 10 are a member of a church or attend any religious services regularly. While the two statistics seem to be in conflict, they're really not. Those in the roles of leadership in the modern church say it's a clear sign of this younger generation being in moral decline. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Picture my eye roll right here.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, look at the rolling of the eyes. You can hear it on the microphone. It is fascinating how we find it so easy to blame all the ills of our society on the next generation. And I know this will open up a can of worms. I find that attitude on all levels of social and cultural issues, even political issues, but especially in the church. Each generation seems to assess itself the best and the smartest, and it deems the generation following them the problem. But isn't each generation actually a product of the previous generation or generations?
Yes,
they are. And I know I'm a little bit sensitive to the way millennials are portrayed, you know, throughout media and stuff, because
you guys are laying around in your mom and dad's houses till you're 30 years old. You ought to be out there married and get you a job somewhere.
Well, and of course we have entitled brats in our generation, just like every generation before us has had. But I think everything in life is a matter of perspective, and a lot of the things that millennials are doing differently are putting them in a better position a little bit farther down the road.
Some of it may be smarter. I mean, what's wrong with stay at home a little longer?
Sure.
What's wrong with not getting married quite so quick? And, I'm just saying, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know if that's kind of like the guy that heard the preacher come in and he said, well, what'd you think? He said, he preached on sin. Oh, really? Yeah, I ain't sure if he is for it or against it.
Yep.
But I'm going to quit doing that voice. I'll get started. That'll be my new radio voice. Okay. If one doesn't subscribe to the mindset that these darn kids today are the cause of all the ills, including our decline in church attendance, what might be the other conclusion? Is it possible that the reality might be that the way we do church just isn't working? Or especially working for them? Or some people?
You know, I have to say here, too, and I'm going to be frank with everyone, and this is 100% my opinion.
You be frank, and I'll be Jesse.
Okay. There are a lot of things that I, as a millennial, dislike about organized religion. And, guys, I'm going to be honest, slapping some praise music on a screen isn't going to fix the problems that I'm seeing. And I've discussed this exact same thing at length with others of my generation. And a lot of them have the problem, and I'm going to be honest, some of them don't attend church because of it.
Yeah, and I'm not just, we're talking about that the church just isn't working for some people. It's not just the millennials, but the remainder of that 80% who say they believe in God but don't attend regular religious services,
mm-hmm.
or don't feel the need, don't feel that they should, or that they have to, and don't we have to ask ourselves the difficult questions and be really honest with our answers? I mean, if we're going to get anywhere, don't we have to be able to do that? And we're not doing that. I'm not hearing it from the pulpit. It's always the same pat answers. It's always the do it, and we're going to do this.
If you're not in church, it's your problem that you're not in church.
Yeah,
it's not the church's
problem. Church
don't
have a problem. You have a problem. And then it's how we look at what the church is. And to me, it's hard for us to separate that building and the property, that building and the property and the pews.
From the congregation.
Because what do we say? I'm going to go up to the
church.
And that's not really what the church is in concept anyway. As the church community, can we bear to see ourselves as others might see us? That's the question we have to ask. Even those who believe and are outside our ever-shrinking groups who share religious philosophies and organizational traditions. About a year ago, a millennial said to me that the problems millennials have with the modern church is that it's patterned after itself after big business and government. Anyone want to take a guess on that? You guys are going to have to take over. I got to take a drink of water.
I know it had to have been me or Tabby, but I don't know which one.
Yeah, I figure we both said it at one time or another. That's kind of a pet peeve of mine, is to see, 2-hour-long business meetings.
It is extremely hard.
And I don't know if it was Tabitha or Tracen. And by the way, if you heard a little pause there, I had to hit the cough button. I got one of those things and I couldn't get the lid off of my water bottle. You probably heard me coughing in the background. But anyway, I think it was Tracen maybe the first time that made that statement that, you know, we have patterned the church after big business and government. The church patterned itself through the years. In short, the modern church has become about finance and power, structuring itself with layers of bureaucracy. I don't want to get too personal here, but, you know, there's some churches can't decide to change a light bulb without it going through the right committees and everything. So, unless don't we all have a recent personal experience with that? Let's don't talk about that. And not in our church, where we attend, but, structuring itself with layers of bureaucracy, building large denominations on the support of its members, of its many satellites nationwide or even worldwide. And those satellites are feeding the organization with its upward flow of money from the bottom. And when you say it like that, it sure does sound like government, don't it?
It does.
And let's be honest, where there's power and money,
there's abuse.
There's opportunity for abuse.
Well, and I know we've been talking about statistics a lot, but, you know, there was a research done on factsandtrends.net, and it said the most common factor for millennials checking out of the modern day church that they did was too much of an inward focus, that the ministries are only for the members. They're the ones who benefit, that the budgetary funds are used almost exclusively to meet the needs of members. And
Or the building.
Yeah. And I want to ask you guys, too, have you ever, because I know, I'm sure you guys have, I've visited a lot of churches through the years, and have you ever walked into a church and immediately felt left out?
Oh, yeah.
You walk in and everyone kind of has their back to you. They're separated into their small groups, and maybe one or two people turn around and say hello to you, and the rest of them are just completely ignoring your existence. And
yeah, and I know that the members of the church do get kind of like preferential treatment, but we have to be careful, because then our members start feeling entitled and then we have conflict.
Yes. Yeah, and there again to say, and I missed something I was going to say earlier. There's exceptions to everything.
Oh,
hey,
yes.
We're not, you know, there again, we're going to talk about that. We're not trying to paint with a broad brush here. We're talking about the problems we have experienced personally, and I've got a feeling if I've experienced them, other
so
people
has
have
everyone
to.
Else.
Yeah.
And a lot of these problems are with the structure of the organized structure. Goodness.
Yeah.
The organized structure itself, rather than with the believers.
Yes. Sure, yeah, it's not the people. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, I talked about where there's power and money, there's abuse. That's the last thought we had there. And let me tell you, I had a good friend of mine, and he was an editor of a small town newspaper. And I'm not going to say any more than that, or people will figure out who he was. But he started trying to probe to find out this one particular denomination, how much the people at the top got paid. And he was told, basically, it's none of your business. I mean, this is not hearsay. He was a friend of mine. He would send me the emails that they would send him and the replies they would have. And they just basically said, that's really nobody's business. Now, you see, that's what's wrong, right?
It is.
That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. Let's be honest with ourselves. This image alone is a big turnoff to people. I'm talking about the government pattern itself after, I mean, the church pattern itself after big business and government. This image alone is a big turnoff to people. Many are rejecting this approach to fulfill their spiritual yearnings. And I can't say as I blame them. After decades of pastoring, now I've never been a big, large church pastor. I'm not. I've always just been bivocational and just, you know, worked things through and worked all, you know, always work a job, still work a job, all those things. As a matter of fact, I just never did want to be financially dependent on the church.
Right.
Because I couldn't say things like this. Could I? I mean, I couldn't do projects like this. But, after decades of pastoring, I myself have been turned off by the hierarchy of the church. It seems that every issue eventually comes down to finance and a few people seeking to elevate themselves upwards in the structure of power and control. Now, let me say, again, there are exceptions. We're not trying to paint all assemblies of believers with one broad stroke of the brush, but there's a little bit of this problem in every, I think. And maybe a lot of people don't know this, because you know what I think a lot of people do? A lot of people are members. They show up there. They work. They sit through the service. They do what there is to do. And they don't get involved in any of the rest of it.
No.
And Tabitha mentioned before the cough break there about the business meetings and things like that. And oh my goodness alive, people. And I've seen the most unchristian behavior, the most disappointing unchristian behavior in a church finance meeting or a business meeting.
And I think those meetings and those situations have made me really start asking myself in every situation I encounter in life, is this how I would want to be treated if I were in this person's situation? Would I want to deal with someone who's angry or irate or throwing a fit over something that's really trivial in the end? And it's really changed my outlook on life.
Well, it's back. You said millennials look and see that we're hypercritical
and aggressive.
And that's part. I mean, you know, we're going to do it this way and this is going to be the way it's going to be. And we get on the phone and we get a whole bunch of people all riled up and the politics. I'm not talking about government. I'm talking about internal politics and things like that. And I mean, we're not trying to down the church. Listen, there are a lot of people that's where we get. But now, guys, remember our topic. Let's don't stray from our topic here in your mind when you're thinking about all this. I come drive by and there's nobody at church next Sunday. We'll know at the service next Sunday. We'll know. But the reality is that we're looking at ourselves. We're trying to look at ourselves exactly like other people may see us. And this may seem harsh, and it's no doubt going to offend some, but if you're a regular attender of religious services like I am, like we are, before you blow up and start typing an angry reply to this episode, just ask yourself this question. What would the church look like if it was strictly a spiritual institution? Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, if it did not own property, didn't own buildings, or if it didn't have a treasury. Or maybe the question should be, how many of the problems of the church would be eliminated if the ownership of buildings and the bank accounts were eliminated as factors? Anybody got anyone to say anything about that? No? Everybody just quiet.
I'm just going to let that one pass.
A group of people would, this is just an imagine. This is a group of people would gather somewhere at some time and just openly talk about Jesus, who he is to them. Open the Bible and read some of the master's words or one of his many parables, and probe the myriad of meanings and applications it has to our personal life. We'd leave our pocketbooks at home. Our generosity would be reserved for however, to whomever God leads us to in our daily lives.
And that's a huge struggle for me when I see million-dollar buildings and other things go up when there are people who are struggling to keep electricity on and food on the table.
And let's go ahead and say it. They're heated and cooled.
Yes.
Year-round. Insurance is all, I mean, and, you know, and remember what our thought is here. It just doesn't seem to be work. I mean, we're going to have to, there's going to be change, and we're going to talk about that in the very next episode. The truth is, this approach of this that I talked about, you know, meeting, talking about Jesus, these people just in free meetings and open meetings, you know, and in open places. The truth is, this approach has worked over and over through the ages, home churches, all kinds of different things, until someone suggests that the group buy a piece of property and erect a building as a permanent place to meet. And then what does it become?
Just another modern organized church.
Fall right back into the trap again. Fall right back into the mud again. And I've seen it happen a bunch of times in my life. Well, are we ready to conclude?
I think we're ready.
I do not see the decline in attendance of the modern organized church, especially under the canopy and control of giant worldwide organizations, as a bad thing. I think folks are smart. They may be getting smarter, millennials. Contrary to the mindset that each generation is dumber and worse, I believe there are thousands and thousands of godly people inside and outside the organized church who have become disenchanted with the way the church operates. They've not abandoned God or their faith. They're seeking a real and meaningful relationship with the loving Creator, the kind of relationship Jesus came to present to mankind. A personal relationship that, while creating a bond between believers, does not dictate when or how God is to be honored or to be worshipped. Jesus said the time will come, now is here, when the Father won't be worshipped on this mountain or that mountain, but those who worship the Father will worship Him in spirit and in truth, for the Father desires this kind of worship from his children. I'm aware that this kind of content infuriates many well-meaning folks who will defend the organized church until the doors are closed and the pews are empty. But the real church cannot close, for it is in the heart of the believer.
Amen.
It always has, and it always will, survive and thrive. Metamorphosis? Yes. Change? Mm-hmm. Always. Influx? Of course. But folks, we're not going to dig in. This generation is not going to dig in and say, "It's we're going to make sure it stays just like this." And, well, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible to all the seekers out there, God's grace, peace, and love until we meet again here or wherever He leads us.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.